mercies we are saved. Hallelujah. We hear what you have said. If we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name and shout out. We Rose, 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 side by side, Jesus Christ.
Song. I will ask for our world to pray for us after that. Same key. Christ our Redeemer died on the He died on the cross for the sinners. He paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul. Yeah.
Through the land.
Amen.
It must have been a fantastic thing for those people that did not believe it, Lord.
Amen.
But as sure as anything, it came to pass, and many that did not find shelter under the blood, they perished, Lord. And the song reminds us of those days, and it helps us also to think of the judgment that is coming. Lord, I pray tonight that you help us to find shelter under the blood.
Amen.
For surely as anything,
Hallelujah.
The day is coming when the Son of Man will
Amen.
Come again. Father, and judgment will go forth into this world.
Amen.
I pray, Father, that you help us, Lord, if we are not under that blood tonight,
Amen.
To press with all that's in us, O God, until we are under that blood. Be merciful, O God, unto your people tonight. For, Lord, many have forsaken their own mercies, Lord. But we want to come humbly as we can, Lord, saying, O God, be merciful unto us, Father. Be merciful and help us tonight that, Lord, when we would leave this place, we will be standing on a higher ground, a place that cannot be shaken fully in your hands, O God. Father, I pray that it may be the experience of every person tonight, Lord, that we would say, was it not good to be in thine house, O God? Let the blood be applied in our lives. Let the token shine forth, O God, that when that night comes again, we will be found, Lord, in the ark of safety. Be merciful, Lord, and continue to lead our soul leader, Lord, to use him to sing such songs, O Father, that would bring our hearts closer and closer to your presence. And I pray for our pastor, Lord, that you use him mightily tonight. Father, let it not be a man speaking. Oh God, may you meet the expectation of each and every one of these good children that have gathered here, O God. Bless those that have traveled. Lord, we pray also for our sister Lily that couldn't make it tonight due to a misplacement, Lord, of a lip card. We pray, Father, that you restore unto her, Father. Grant us grace, Lord, Father, tonight as we commit this service into thine hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's sing just two verses of that. You just feel me. Let's just sing those songs. There's certain times those songs you just feel, guys, there's not much time. Let's do what we can while we can. And then we'll ask for our mess to come. Just two verses. Christ shall come to earth again.
Testimony of what I experienced this afternoon when we were
Amen.
Coming to church. What I saw, I just want to bring it to the church so that we will be really serious about our worship. Just as our brother prayed, said, let us seek the Lord that
Hallelujah.
We will find shelter tonight.
Amen.
A shelter that we will continuously be under until he comes. Amen. This afternoon we came to Dublin a little bit early to see Angel at the airport as she goes to France to be with our precious sister in their ceremony. So as we were coming from the airport, we passed through a charity shop just up here. And as we entered, there was a gospel song being at the background. The song, Alpha and Omega, we worship you, Lord. So as we entered, I started singing also. I don't know what happened, but I started also singing alongside. There were two women at the counter. Then one of the women just said, "Sir, are you a minister?"
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I said, "Yes." Said, "I could see it." So the other woman asked her, "How were you able to see something like that?" He said, "Immediately he entered here, I could see that, no, this man is a minister."
Amen.
I said, "God bless you, sister."
Amen.
And so from there, it looks as if it started like a short worship and praising God. And my wife took a pair of shoes and was trying to put it on. Then another customer just came and kneeled down to help my wife to put on the shoes. I said, "No, woman, you shouldn't do that." Then those at the counter said, "Look, she's one of our church members. Let her do it." I said, "Ah, my." And then what they were saying, as the song was going on and I was still singing, I said, "Oh, the rapture is near." I said, "Wow."
Amen.
They were so joyful, said, "The rapture is near."
Amen.
I said, "Wow." I said, "My." I said, "Sisters of the truth, what you are saying is true. Looking at what is happening now, going around." And they knew it. And they were feeling that pull, that rapture is very close.
Amen.
And so when we left there, I was just thinking that, brethren, what message are they listening to? That they could come to that place where they feel the pull. And then we that have the message that we say the rapturing message. Brethren, what are we doing?
Hallelujah.
Let us be serious.
Amen.
Let us not deceive ourselves and get ourselves really serious.
Hallelujah.
Because I don't know the kind of message they are hearing. But we believe we are hearing the message of the hour. And let's watch our attitude towards the message that we are hearing. Brethren, there are other people that are receiving the same pool. They might not have even heard this message before. So they asked me, "Sir, where is your church?" Then I had to show them where the church is. They just go here, down here, give them the address. And so after I've decided to, they told me, well, they also attended a certain church, and I forgot the name of that church anyway. But I will try to be, one of these days, be going there and see what the Lord will do. Amen. So let us be serious, brethren.
Amen.
Our Saturdays, our Wednesday service and Friday service, Sundays here is filled up. But other days, it looks as if we drag our feet so much. But look at the joy that were in these women. Oh my. Let us be very serious in our worship. God richly bless you.
Amen.
I believe a good report. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe a good report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Yes, the altar call.
Oh, glory be to God. I am
the Lord Jesus, Son.
On the altar sanctified.
To the Lord
and guide. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah to
Of the King,
where
the glories never fail. Let it be so, saints. That's our inheritance. That's where we're supposed to live. God bless you this evening. Let's open our Bibles. Let's read a couple of scriptures. Let's read from Genesis 49. Let's read from there first of all. From verse 22. We're just looking on Wednesday at the blessing of Joseph. Just want to finish that off before we had come to pray. This is the blessing that Jacob gave to Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough. That's verse 22. Even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren.
Amen.
Friends, that's a blessing. Because that blessing didn't come from Jacob.
Yes.
That came from the one who gives the blessing.
Amen.
The one who gives the blessing, when he gives a blessing, it says, the Bible says it adds no sorrow. You know, the world can give you a blessing and it can add sorrow.
Right.
You know, you can win the lottery and then you get divorced. You know, there's sorrow, but when the Lord blesses, there's no sorrow that comes with the blessing. It's a real blessing. It's a lasting blessing when he blesses. So Moses now, when he blesses Joseph as well, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, the book of Deuteronomy, he also gets in the spirit now with just the last thing that he's about to do, Moses, and he's going to bless. Sorry, chapter 33, verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath. and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the blessings in your word. We thank you, Lord, that in you we are blessed. We thank you, Lord, there's no more curse because you bore the curse. Because the scripture says, cursed is he that hangs upon a tree. So we thank you, Lord, that you've borne our iniquity. You've borne the consequences, Lord. And Father, now in you, there's nothing but blessing to your sons and daughters. So help us this night, Lord, as we'd come to finish this day, to say amen at the end of this day. Won't you help us, Lord, we pray. Bless your people, even as prayer has gone forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless, saints. Let's be seated. Just to take this thought once again of this blessing of Joseph, and to finish it off. You know, Joseph, he was really somebody who was greatly blessed. You know, and it's no surprise that he was greatly blessed. We had a look on Wednesday. We're having a look at what was the foundation. Why was Joseph so blessed above his brethren? Now, why did he view, I showed the children just at home last night, the map of the tribes, and you'll see Ephraim and Manasseh, and the blessing, the portion given to Ephraim and Manasseh was so much greater than all the rest of them. You know, the portion of the two sons of Jacob was more than a double portion. And you'll ask yourself and you'll say, but why did the Lord bless this man? And we know that exactly it was Joseph because of his faithfulness. Amen. Joseph because of his steadfastness. Joseph because of the character that he had, because he allowed the Lord to develop such a character inside of him. But we just had a look in verse 22 of Genesis 49 on Wednesday about Joseph being a fruitful bough. You know, we were speaking about that, about, you know, Joseph was a fruitful bough, it says in verse 22, even a fruitful bough by a well. So the secret of Joseph's strength, his perseverance, and the secret of him being a blessing wherever he was, being the son of prosperity, was where he was planted. And he wasn't planted next to the well. As an old man, he was planted in the days of his youth. Because when Joseph was a young man, he was already tapping from those resources of, you know, the deep things of God. Those real deep things that you below, he'd draw on them, and he could move in the spirit of prophecy, and he had these prophetic dreams. So Joseph, as a young man, he was no stranger to the supernatural. He, from a young man, knew the reality of God. And there's nothing greater that God can do for somebody than as a young person he reveals himself to you. Because you realize that blessing, the channel of blessing, is not determined by people. You know, I might try to bless you, somebody else might try to bless you, you might try to bless me, and it's just the blessing of man until God himself moves into that channel of blessing. Amen. And Jacob now, when he was about to bless his sons and speak of the future of his sons, when he gets, we said it on Wednesday, to Judah, and then he gets to Joseph, all of a sudden there's a tremendous unction, there's a tremendous power available to him in the blessing, and he recognizes and he realizes now that God is wanting to bless. You know, that heavenly places, there's like an expectation, there's a power that's released now to Jacob, and he can now freely bless Judah, he can freely bless Joseph, and the greatest blessing obviously comes to Joseph, and that's how blessings come through that channel. And there's a reason why on some of the sons, the blessing was withheld. Some of the sons, there was a small blessing, one little verse. But on the other ones, like Joseph, in both of these chapters, when Jacob blesses his sons, and when Moses blesses the tribes, you find that it's Joseph who gets the greatest blessing. Amen. And you'll find out that there's a reason for that. You know, there's a certain life, there's a certain something that the Lord really blesses in the life of a person. And Joseph, being a real type of Christ, you can see why he received the blessing. Yeah, and he didn't only receive the blessing at that time now in amongst his brethren, which was fine. You know, God blessed each of the sons. The Spirit came upon Jacob. He blesses the 12 sons. But in the previous chapter, if you read Genesis chapter 48, Genesis 48, the Lord comes, Joseph comes now because Jacob is about to die. And Joseph wants now to see his father once again. It says in Genesis 48 verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, 'Behold, thy father is sick.' And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim." Friend, there's a real good principle there. Now, Joseph, he's blessed. He's already been blessed. He's experienced blessing inside of his life. He's seen the deliverance of God. He's seen the prosperity of God upon the works of his hands. When he's in Potiphar's house, when he's in the prison house, he's seen how much God has blessed him, how God has delivered him, how faithful God was to keep the covenant promises that he made to him, how, you know, the dreams were fulfilled and so forth. But Joseph doesn't want to leave it there. Joseph wants his children to be blessed the way that he's blessed. And that's why when he's called now to come into the presence of his father, who's the prophet, who's the very source, the one, the instrument that God uses to bless at that time, Joseph doesn't just come himself. When he comes to visit his father, he brings his two sons. And friend, that is a real good principle. We'll see it as we go. That if you want blessing upon yourself, go to the right place. And if you want blessing upon your children, make sure you take your children to the place that they can be blessed. Amen. You'll be very careful where you take them. And Joseph is very wise, and he brings his children along with him. And when they tell him in verse 2, they say, "Your son Joseph has come," and he strengthened himself and he sat upon his bed. And then it says in verse 3, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me.'" So the first thing you find that Jacob does, and friends, this is a wonderful thing to do with young people as well. He starts to speak of how God had blessed him inside of his life. He starts to speak of his testimony in the presence of these young people. Is that not a good thing that we should do? Friends, instead of complaining about this and complaining about that, if when we are with our children, if you're traveling in the car, if you're walking, or if you're sitting, whatever that it is, when the opportunity comes to speak about how good the Lord has been to you, friends, that does something to somebody. Amen. The power of Jacob's testimony, he hasn't yet entered into the channel of prophecy. He hasn't yet moved into the place that he can more like officially bless them. But Jacob, you know, having received the blessing of the Lord and realizing that his life has been blessed, he desires not just to keep that blessing for himself, but he wants to his children and his children's children to inherit that blessing. Amen. So he starts speaking about how the Lord had blessed him. And how does he speak about it? He starts right from the beginning, Jacob's ladder at Luz. When the Lord now came and above the ladder and gave him the promise of his inheritance and said, "You know, I will not fail you of all that I promised until all that I promised you has come to pass." Amen. You know, and then revelation, when the Lord revealed himself to him, Jacob could never get away from that, and he would tell his grandchildren about it. He'll tell them, "I met him. You know, I was there and I had a pillar as a stone, and I just knew him as the God of my father, but I didn't know him myself. But then there was an experience. There was something open between the heavens and the earth. And there was the Most High. He was, you know, at the top of the ladder, and angels were ascending and descending. And then he spoke to me in the night visions, and he promised me that he'd be with me." And that left such an impact in the life of Jacob. And he knew that the Lord has blessed me from that time. I wasn't always faithful to him, he can say. But he was faithful to me. And even as he promised me that I will not leave you until I've fulfilled all that I've spoken of you. Jacob now, as he comes to the end of his life and he's living in Goshen, and he's living off the fat of the land, and God has protected him. Friend, he can testify himself to them of the faithfulness of God and of the goodness of God. And he says, verse 4, "And he said unto me, 'Behold,'" this is what the Lord said to Jacob, "'I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And I will make of thee a multitude of people. and will give this land to your seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Now he spoke of his inheritance, of the promises that God had given. Friend, that's a real good thing to do. No, it's good to speak of the goodness of the Lord. Like I was saying about Brother Biscoe when he said that time about not knowing what to pray. No, you don't feel like praying. You don't really feel like doing something like that. He said, just go before the Lord and start to thank him for all the things that he's done.
Amen.
Just start to think back inside of your life. If you're not in the spirit of prayer, and then you start to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, I remember when I was dead in sin and trespasses. Lord, I remember how I almost perished when I was young. And I could have died in my sin and been lost. But Lord, even before I knew you, you were watching over me.
Amen.
And then Lord, that day when you spoke unto my heart and you convicted me of my sin and I got down on my knees and you took away the burden and you justified me. And then Lord, how you've led me from that time and how you led me into the message of the hour, how you've unfolded yourself to me. Lord, I remember that day when I was praying out in that cornfield and you filled me with your spirit. And Lord, and how good you've been to me. You've given me a wife. You've given me a children. You've given me a place of fellowship. And Lord, yeah, you can start going. It won't take you long. You'll be in the spirit of prayer. It won't take long. There's something about speaking of the blessings of the Lord, of his faithfulness. It creates a certain atmosphere. And the best thing we can do to our children, our young people, is to get that atmosphere. Because if we want the Lord to bless them, we need there to be the right kind of an atmosphere to bless them. Yeah, and that's what he did. He started to speak about those two things. Then he said in verse 5, he says, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Friend, that was a blessing. He's saying, Lord, these are not just going to be Joseph. You're not just going to have a single portion in Israel. But the Lord is telling me to tell you this. You're going to have a double portion. The Lord wants to bless you with a double portion. But the way he's going to bless you is through your children. Each of your children is going to have an inheritance among the tribes. Friend, I can't think of any greater blessing than that. When the Lord comes to you and says, I've blessed you, but I'm going to give your children a double blessing.
Amen.
I've given you a portion, but I want to give them a double portion.
Amen.
Friend, surely that's something we should be praying for. That's something we should be striving for.
Amen.
Like I'm saying, by the things we say, the atmosphere that we create, by the lives that we live, that kind of an influence so that the same one who's blessed us and has brought us into a covenant with himself, that we can then, through allowing, like the prophet says, that anointing of the token upon you, that atmosphere you create around you, says your children will drop into it.
Wow.
And then the Lord, because of your faithfulness as well, can give you such a reward to bless your children because of you.
Amen.
You know, the children haven't done anything. They're just young children. They're just growing up in Egypt. But because of Joseph, a type of Christ, he allowed the Lord to reveal the sufferings of Christ through him in his life. He suffered for Christ. He was thrown in a pit like Christ on the cross. And he was thrown in the prison house, and one was lost and one was saved. You know, so he had allowed, he kept the right attitude. He allowed the Lord to express redemption through him. First of all, in the sufferings of Christ.
Amen.
So the next thing the Lord says, Joseph, you've allowed me to express what's on my heart, what's going to take place in Christ, in your life, the sufferings of Christ. So now, don't you worry. Now you're going to show forth my glory. And not only does the Lord raise him up to the right hand of Pharaoh, but he says, your sons are going to get a double portion. Friend, what a blessing that would be. What a blessing. And for a man like Joseph, it's not surprising that his sons would be given such a blessing and inheritance. And if you take the map, as you say, of the tribes, you know, the portion of each, the inheritance of each of the tribes, Ephraim has the greatest portion. Manasseh has it on the east and the west of the River Jordan. You know, he even spills over the wall into across the Jordan. It was such an inheritance, and Ephraim's portion that he was given in Israel has the fertile, most fertile soil in all of Israel.
Amen.
He was given a fruitful land. Why? Because his father, the secret of it all, he set his roots down in the days of his youth, and he was planted next to the well. You know, and any bough, any tree, any vine that's planted by the well as we saw on Wednesday, its leaves will never wither, and it will bring forth his fruit in his season. And that was the secret of Joseph. He wasn't outwardly any different than any other person. Elijah was a man of like passions. But it was how deep he allowed his roots to go and where he placed himself, right by the well. He was a tree planted by the well. When all the other trees in the orchard, you know, somebody's got to put some irrigation there sometimes because it's getting dry, hasn't been enough rain, someone's taken a watering can, somebody's digging a channel to try to get water to them. You plant a tree by the well. It's got a source that it's tapped into that will sustain it. It doesn't matter the drought. It doesn't matter the outward circumstance. It doesn't matter how hot the sun is. Doesn't matter how long the summer may go. Friend, when that bough has been rooted in the right source, deep down in the deep things of God. Friend, that's really what we desire. You know, when I was really meditating on these things these days, especially when Sister Angel the other day put on the youth forum saying, you know, there's the meetings coming up in Holland once again. And for the first time for years, we don't have any young people that are going. And I thought to myself, I said, we need to make this an issue of prayer on Friday night. You know, how can our children receive the blessing if they aren't taken and encouraged to go to the place where the blessing is? Now, if Joseph had left his children in the palace when he came to see his father, they would never have had such an experience that they did. Amen. This was a foundational experience when the Spirit came down upon the prophet and the glory of the Shekinah, the covenant angel, came down in the room and he laid his hands upon those two sons and he blessed them. That did something to them. Because every time the Lord blesses you, it leaves an imprint. You know, you'll never be the same. That's how you want it to be. Surely that's what you want church to be, friends.
Amen.
We don't want to come and go back the same. And it's up to us if we can unite together in prayer tonight. And, you know, we can seek a deeper atmosphere of his blessing as we had come on Sunday. And in the things that you do as we have youth and the different things and the Sunday school. So that our children at a young age, like these sons, can receive their portion. Can receive a blessing at a young age. That would be such a blessing to me. You know, I'm so glad for the blessings of the Lord. Even if he never blessed me again in my life, I'm satisfied with his blessing.
Amen.
Now I'm not so much thinking about myself. I want that blessing on my children.
Amen.
I want them to know the covenant angel, the same one like Jacob said. He says, let the angel that redeemed me bless them.
Amen.
Let the same covenant angel, the same pillar of fire, friends, that has blessed us and has watched over us and has delivered us, let it now reveal itself to our young people.
Amen.
We had a real stir some years back and the Lord visited our young people. We had a good crop of young people come. But friends, now we've come to a place we need another visitation of the Lord amongst our young people. And I'd say out of all the things that we can pray for tonight, that's the most important thing that we need to pray for. Because there's a lack now. There's something missing. You know, there's a group of young people, good young people, but they need the blessing. They need to set their roots down deep enough to tap into the source themselves. So that it's not their father or their mother or the youth leader or the Sunday school teacher or the minister who's tapping down into those deep resources of the great well that never runs dry. And is drawing the resources now, bringing forth the fruits and the leaves and so forth. But that you yourself get so close to the well that you put down your roots and you strike that source yourself. Because friends, when a young person strikes the source themselves,
Amen.
You don't have to worry about them.
Amen.
You can put them on Patmos, they'll be in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Amen.
You can put them in Babylon, they'll be making a testimony for the Lord.
Amen.
Because they're not dependent on outward things.
Amen.
And that is the proof of what it said about Joseph. He's a fruitful bough planted by a well. It doesn't matter. Joseph had a spiritual life that wasn't dependent on anybody else. He wasn't dependent. He loved his father. He loved his father's house. And he worshipped God in his father's house. But when he was taken from his father's house, he still worshipped God.
Amen.
He was blessed in his father's house. He was blessed when he was in Egypt.
Amen.
He wasn't dependent on outward things to keep him
Amen.
In the blessing. He had gone down deep enough in his experience, the root of his experience. His foundation went right down until it struck the real thing.
Amen.
And that's like we're speaking to the brother. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, friends. It's when God opens that channel in your soul to the real source, the blessing himself. It's unlimited how far deep you can go in the things of God. But you first have to experience those deep things of God yourself. You've got to plant yourself by the well. You know, but some people, they're by the well today, and you know, next week they're down there in another place, and next week they're far away from the well. No, stay there and let your roots go down until you strike that something that's real. That's something that you know that you've got it because you can draw upon it at any time.
Yeah,
you know, when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he could draw from that source. Now when he's lied upon and he's falsely accused and he's cast into prison and his name is now dirt, it doesn't matter, he has a hidden source of strength. Now his roots are now right down deep in that artesian well, whatever it was down there, that source of water. He can draw from that living water whensoever he needs it. And that's how he encourages himself and sustains himself as a young man and as he's growing up. And then when he's in Pharaoh's house, it's the same thing. When he's at the right hand of Pharaoh, it's that same source, that same wisdom that he's drawing upon to bring about this great salvation. And friends, that's the greatest thing that we can encourage our young people in.
Yes,
and we should be doing everything that we can to try to get them anywhere that there's the right atmosphere, that there's the potential for them to receive this blessing. Doesn't matter how much it costs, doesn't matter if we have to go with them, doesn't matter what it is that we need to do, friends. What can be more important to a genuine believer who's already received this blessing than to want your children and the young people in our church to receive the same blessing? Surely it's something that we desire, saints. So we need to really pray about this, because to me, I was so sad when I heard none of our young people are going. I said, hey, how do we expect a blessing when we don't go to the place that God has promised to bless? Now, when there's special meetings for youth, there's special ministers that have been invited, who are anointed and led in that kind of way to minister to the youth. And the meetings are set up and people are praying and the ministers are preparing themselves, maybe fasting and praying. How can you not expect a blessing in a meeting like that? In a place like that, anybody who's seeking for the blessing to know the reality of who this God is, if you just bring yourself to that place. Now break through the flesh, the veil of your flesh, your feelings, and you know the carnal things that would hold you back. Don't worry about anything else. Try to get yourself to that place, because that's the most important thing. Remember how much Jacob wanted the blessing, as we said. Now he wanted the blessing. It doesn't matter what he had to do to get that blessing. And then he used his devious nature to get the blessing. He steals the blessing from his brother. But there was something inside of him which couldn't be satisfied without the blessing. And surely that is what it is in the life of a genuine believer. There's something inside of you that will never be satisfied without the blessing. The intellectual gospel doesn't satisfy you. No, the second-hand religion doesn't satisfy you. Just the testimonies of other people that don't satisfy you. In fact, they make you even more thirsty for it yourself. Just say, but Lord, if you've done this for other people, surely you'll do it for me as well. And Joseph, at a young age, friends, he struck down deep. And he got his roots deep in the reality of the source of the blessing. And that is why he lived the life that he did. And that is why he reflected Christ the way that he did. And that is why he endured in his sufferings and he endured in his shame. And that's why now the Lord looked down upon him and says, I'm going to crown his head with such a blessing. And you have a look at the blessing of Joseph, how much ahead of everybody else that it is. You know, it's a real, real good thing that the Lord did. And he wanted now the blessing upon his children. So he brings them now to Jacob. And Jacob now says to him, he says, in verse 8, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I'll bless them.
Amen.
Ah, friends, that's the benefit. That's what happens when you put your children in the right place.
Amen.
You just keep them in the right place. Something's going to take place. Keep them in the right atmosphere at home. Don't complain about things all the time and complain about, oh, sometimes it's too long at church and all those things, because that's being reflected on your children and their attitude as well. But speak about the Lord and speak about His goodness. Speak about the glories of His house. Speak about how many times the Lord has met you at the post of duty. Speak of what a blessing it is to sacrifice for Him, because He sacrificed for us. Now speak about the goodness of His children. Speak about the goodness of His word. Speak about those kind of things, friends. That's how we create the right kind of an atmosphere for the Lord to take the same blessing that He blessed us with and to visit that upon our children as well. And we need to pray for that, friends. We need to pray for that atmosphere. We need to pray for those meetings. We need to pray for the Lord to really move and work upon our young people now. That this next generation that's coming up will have some Josephs inside of there. Some of our young people who will get down deep enough themselves to personally experience the deep things of God. Those things of the deep that the Bible speaks about. I think we really, really need to take that as a number one priority at this time, saints. It's even more important than us getting another church. Because what's the point of us getting another church and then our young people are far away from God? Now, how does it help? We're just taking our children into a better building. No, we desire a better experience, a really reality in the lives of people. And we're the ones that can come and we can pray and we can seek the Lord and say, Lord, and you help me not to be a stumbling block, Lord. Now let me not be a hindrance to my children, but let me be somebody who's in your hand to encourage the children just as much as Joseph brought them to his father. So he wants to bless them. And they brought down before him, and you know how he stretches out his hands. And it says in verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. That's Genesis 48 verse 15. The God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Friends, he starts speaking of the faithfulness of God. He says, God has fed me all the days of my life. And the proof of it is, he's sitting in Goshen, he's living in Goshen. And all those big garners, those granaries of Egypt were set up actually for Jacob and his sons. God sent Joseph before them because of the famine, so there could be food in due season for them. And what about us, friends? What about the spiritual food in due season that's been stored up for us? Amen. What about the great provision that the same covenant God, the same redeeming angel has made for us? When he looked at you, he stored up food for you. And you can see, just as, say, just as much as Jacob, that my Lord has fed me all the days of my spiritual life. Ever since I met him, ever since I came into this message, he's been so faithful to feed me. He's fed me with the finest of the wheat. You know, and that's what he's speaking about. He says, he fed me all my day long. Then he says in verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Who is he praying to? He's praying, saying, to the angel, the covenant angel. That's the pillar of fire. That's the angel, the Lord himself. He's saying, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Let the same angel that's blessed us, let the same Logos that has overshadowed us and blessed us and led us and guided and redeemed us from all evil, let our children experience the blessing of that same redeeming angel. But what is he doing here, Jacob? He was praying for it. As is in the spirit of prophecy, he's praying. He says, oh God, you know, let the same angel that redeemed me bless these lads. Friends, I think that's a really good thing to pray. To say, Lord, let the same pillar of fire that overshadows this message, let the same pillar of fire, Lord, that has, you know, distributed itself inside of your church, let that same pillar of fire, let the same redeeming angel go and redeem our young people from evil. And friends, if you really think about it, it was necessary. Because Ephraim and Manasseh didn't grow up in the same environment as their father. Their father grew up in Canaan. He was a country boy. It was a simple life. He grew up in a believer's home. There was not too many influences around and about to do evil. But these two young men were born in Egypt. They were living in the palace. Imagine the temptation that was around him. That's why the prophet says, you mothers, don't you realize your daughter has 10 times the temptation that you had? And you fathers, your son has 10 times the temptation. So Joseph knew that. He knew, look, there's a real possibility that these young men are going to grow up being attracted by these things of Egypt. So what did he do? When he went along now, he would take his children along, so that they would be where the blessing was. Because he knew what they need, the same way the Lord delivered me when I came into Egypt, Joseph. The same way the Lord delivered me from Potiphar, and the same Potiphar's wife, and the same Lord who delivered me from all of the temptations of Egypt, because I was planted by the well. I need them to be planted by the well. I need them to have the same experience I had, so they can be rooted and grounded in the faith, as Paul said, the same way that I'm rooted and grounded in the faith. Friend, that is a key thing.
Amen.
For every single believer to be able to have that testimony.
Yes.
That you struck the source yourself.
Amen.
That you tapped into those unsearchable riches. There's that certain place, like I'm saying, it's in the depths. It's the deep things of God. Look what Paul says, if you open Corinthians, just before we come to pray. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. You know, when Paul is speaking about the spirit and the flesh. In 1 Corinthians. He says about eye has not seen and ear has not heard and so forth. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. He says, but God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's the blessings of the deep. That's the inheritance of the believer. It's the deep things of God. And friend, what is the message of the hour? It's the revelation of the deep things of God. His deep thoughts. His deep purposes. So we need our roots to go down deep into that channel, that source, the message of the hour, the very inspiration, the very unction that brought the message of the hour. We need our roots to go down deep enough that we individually are drawing from the source of these deep things of God. Friends, you don't want it just to be on the surface. Now, you don't want just your roots to be near the surface. It doesn't last long when it's like that. But you want those roots to strike down deep. To really draw from these deep resources of God. That's why he says the deep things of God. He says in verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Ah, friends, it's that communion and fellowship with him in that realm that your root gets down and you start to commune with him in those deep things. And he starts to reveal to you the deep things that God thinks about you. He starts like he did to Joseph when he was young and his roots went down and then he dreamt and he saw his brother's sheaves bowing down to him. Those were the redemptive purposes of God. Yeah, those are the deep things, and that's what you desire, friend, as young as you possibly can, to really, really seek that rich and original blessing. That's something that'll give you a depth in your experience. You know, the prophet says, if you go down to the river, you see that, you know, the river making a lot of noise. He says, it's not the deep water that makes the noise. You see, it's that shallow water. He says, but you see those deep pools of water. He says, they're the ones that reflect the stars. They're the ones that give the true reflection. Something that's deep. Something that's solid. Something that's grounded. Something that has a real foundation inside of it. Something that's built upon the rock. Not something that's built upon the sand. It doesn't matter the storms that come in the life of Joseph. He's built upon a rock. Now he knows how to get back to that source and draw the resources that he needs. He's learned his dependence upon God. He's learned to lean on the everlasting arm. He's learned about the arm of the mighty God of Jacob. That it was the one that helped him in his battles, in his wars and his troubles and his strife. Friend, if you're going to believe, remember that testimony of the prophet saying about that woman in the insane asylum. You know, we speak of it many times. I like that example because the prophet had to go and pray for this girl who was in the insane asylum. And he gets there and he gets amongst, you know, all the people in the, you know, the place. And then there's this lady and she's dressed very decent and she seems to speak pretty well. And the prophet starts speaking and he says, look, I'm really surprised. What are you doing here? And then she starts to speak now of what she's been through and whatever's mentally has affected her that they've brought her there. And then the prophet says, but surely you don't want to stay in a place like this. And she said, Brother Branham, I don't want to stay in this place. And then the prophet says, if you will seek him now, you won't have to stay in this place. Would you like to do that? He says, the tears were coming down. And Jesus said, yes, I'd like to. And the prophet says, let's go get down and pray. And he says, and they started to pray. And the prophet started to pray, and she started to pray, and she got emotional and stuff like that. And then she got up and she said, I think I'm okay now, Brother Branham. My brother says, no, sister, continue to pray. And she got down the second time, and she got into prayer, and the prophet was getting into prayer, and she got up again, and she wiped her tears and says, I think I'll be all right now. And says, no, no, sister, continue to pray. And then he says, and the third time when she started to pray, her root hit the source. Her root now went deep down enough into the deep resource. And then she started to pray in a different kind of a way. And the prophet could see there's something real taking place now. She struck the reality of the deep things of God. And then when she got up, no one had to tell her. She said, Brother Branham, something's happened. And the prophet says, you could see that something had happened. And the prophet says, you'll be all right now, sister. And the next day they released her. And friends, that's all a believer needs to know. Amen. Is how to tap into those deep, unfailing resources of the Most High. It doesn't matter where they go. You can put them like Joseph in Egypt, like we came to a strange land just as much as it was a strange land to Joseph. But Joseph, he brought forth his fruits in his season. No matter where you put him, he was blessed. Not because of himself, but because he could draw now the resources. He could draw from the source of blessing himself. And that's why now, if you go back to Genesis 49, you'll see what it says about him. Genesis 49, when Jacob is blessing Joseph, and he says, in verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. You know, his branches didn't just stay in the confines of his own little garden, but because he was so close to the well, he was drawing such riches, such nutrients now from the source. His branches grew so thick and so strong, they overspread over the wall. Until the travelers going by could go and take from the fruits. Could taste of the benefit and the blessing. Friend, is that not what you want your testimony to be? Do you want your testimony just to be a limited testimony that you just blessed inside of your own life? Would it not be far greater if you could just go a little bit deeper in God? And draw a little bit more, drink a little bit deeper of that fountain. So that the blessing can overspill from you over onto your children. Then overspill from your children maybe onto your neighbors. Then overspread from your neighbors, like we said the other day, from Dublin, it can overspread to Carlo. And there can be fruits in Carlo, and then go to Athlone. Who knows, to Galway and so forth. But the only way that can take place is we've got to be planted by the well. And we've got to have deep roots, and we've got to keep drawing now from the resources, from the deep, just as much as Joseph did. So that we can now overspread and start going beyond the limits of what we thought was possible. And others now can start to benefit as well. Our friend, that's a sweet thing to think about.
Amen.
You know, look at Joseph. He blessed Egypt. He didn't only bless Egypt. He blessed Canaan. He didn't only bless Canaan. He blessed all the nations around and about. People were coming now and receiving the fruits of deliverance from the famine. Because of Joseph, because his branches overspread the wall. His reputation went far and went wide. And what was the secret? He was planted by a well. And he tapped into that everlasting resource, the depths, the deep. Let's just finish it when Moses speaks about it in Deuteronomy 33 again. just the way that he expresses it, it's really such a great blessing. Deuteronomy 33. You know, Moses got into the same inspiration as Jacob did as soon as Joseph and his tribes came before him. And it says, verse 13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land. What is our land, friends? It's our inheritance. But we can be in our land and not be blessed. We can be in our land as in the book of Haggai and have drought and we don't get the fruits from the land. Yet we're in the land. So what do we need in order to get our full inheritance, to enjoy our full inheritance? We need his blessing upon the land.
Amen.
It's not enough just to be in the land. We need his blessing upon the land. And that's what now he's being told. He'll be blessed in his land. And he says it in verse 13, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven.
Amen.
What's he speaking about? Rain in due season.
Amen.
The planting rain, the former rain at its time. That when the seed is going forth, there's the blessing that goes forth with the seed. There's the former rain, the planting rain that accompanies. The blessing of the Lord is upon the preaching of the word, is upon the song worship, is upon the Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher, as they're sowing the seed, there's the blessing from heaven that's accompanying the seed that's sown. That's what you should be praying for tonight, is for that blessing upon the blessing for the precious things of heaven and for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath. Our friends, that's the deep things of God once again. To say, Lord, we want our roots to go deeper in the deep things of God. If you've got a ministry, to say, Lord, I want to go deeper. I want to know you closer. I want a deeper revelation and experience of redemption, of who you are, what your thoughts are for this age, of what you have for us as your sons and your daughters. Lord, let me tap in there and then let me bring forth fruits and let others eat from those fruits. Would that not be a good thing to pray for the ministry tonight? To say, Lord, help the ministry to go down into the deep things that couch beneath the earth, so they can tap in deeper and draw richer resources from that place. I'd say that would be a good thing to pray for, saints, because we're in this together. It's not a one-man show. This is a body move, and every part of the body has its place to play, and especially in prayer. We really need to pray for these things. Verse 14, he says, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun.
Amen.
To say, Lord, we just want to lay in the presence of the sun. Let your sun bathe down to ripen the fruits. Lord, we don't want to be plenty green. We want to be golden brown, like the prophet says.
Amen.
But we're in the land. The fruits are being displayed, but you want the fruits to come to maturity, to ripen, so that others can pluck from those fruits and be satisfied and taste of the good things of the Lord. So we want it to be the precious fruits brought forth from the sun. And for the precious things put forth by the moon, you know, which brings the dew. And the prophet speaks of the dew early in the morning, the smell of the honeysuckle, and the quietness and the stillness of things. Friends, things to grow, they need that.
Amen.
They need the heat of the sun. They need the dew that comes down at night. They need these things to fully bring forth. And he says, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, what's that? That's the wood and the timber and the things that they need to build. You know, they want even their mountains to be blessed with the cedars of Lebanon. That's what they got for the temple, maybe from Lebanon. But if they could have that in their own land, say, Lord, bless even the hills. Bless the produce, these very things that you want to use to build your house. Now we're building a spiritual house. So you want to ask the Lord to bless us with the materials that we need, both spiritually and naturally, to build his house. The tabernacle of the Most High, the dwelling place of the God of Jacob. That's what you desire. And he says, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. What are these things? The gold and the silver and the brass. And what does Paul tell us in Ephesians 1? I'll just read it for you. He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. My friends, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Friends, they're sitting in our hills, but we need to mind them. We need his blessing upon us so we can bring these things forth in a greater way. I'd say it'd be a good thing to pray for. And as he comes to a close in this blessing, he says, verse 16, and for the precious things of the earth, again, the minerals, the gold, the silver, and the fullness thereof. And then he finishes and he says, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. What is he saying? He's saying that same pillar of fire, Lord, that dwelt in the bush, that spoke to me, that started this whole great move. Let that same pillar of fire, the same one that dwelt in the bush, the same pillar of fire that's blessed me, let the same pillar of fire bless Joseph. Ah, friends, let the same blessing that brought forth the message to the pillar of fire overshadowing his prophet, let that same pillar of fire come and overshadow us, that we may fully possess our inheritance and the riches of our inheritance. That's what he's praying for him to do. He says, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. And then he speaks about his strength and his glory. Friends, I do believe that in those blessings, there's many things we can see that we should be praying for and seeking for a deeper experience, for a higher height in heavenly places, for a richer portion, for a greater drawing from the resources that have been given to us. But it only works when we stay close to the well. You know, we've got to stay within the veil. It's got to be that hidden life in Christ. You've got to be shut in with God. You've got to be living in the presence of the Shekinah. You've got to be living where his glory is, as we're singing about, living where his glory. Yeah? And friends, I know that your soul and mind thirst for a deeper portion, because we're ordained unto such. So as we close this day in prayer and come before the Lord, there's much for us to pray about. Amen. We've spoken about our children and the right atmosphere and bringing them to the place that they can receive the same blessing, and even better, they can receive a double portion of the blessing that we've received. That to be the greatest blessing the Lord could give to us. What greater treasure could the Lord give to us? When the Lord says to Sister Hattie Wright, through the prophet, ask anything you want. If you want $10,000, it'll be on the table. If you want all your parents back young again, what did she say? What was the riches of the inheritance she wants? She says, the salvation of my two boys. The same blessing that's blessed me. The same covenant angel that's redeemed me. Let him redeem them as well. And what about the woman of Memphis? Friends, and the double blessing she received, and that widow woman, she's praying because her son has gone astray, he's dying there with, you know, the valves of his heart are eaten away, and he's lying on his deathbed in the home, and she prays and says, Lord, I was like that Shunammite woman, but where's your Elijah? And then the Lord brings the prophet down, and grounded by the storm, and leads the prophet to her house. And then she gives her testimony, how she tried her best to raise him right. She had her root in the source, but this young man's root had never struck the source. Amen. There was no father in the home. It wasn't easy, whatever. And he went astray. And he got a sexually transmitted disease, and he was lying there dying. And then the prophet says, and I asked her to pray first.
Glory.
He says, you could tell she had prayed before. Because when she prayed, her root went into the source. And she drew forth the resources, the quickening power of the Most High in her prayer. And the prophet says, when she finished praying, I was wiping the tears from my eyes. Then I said, let me pray, auntie. Says, and I took him by his feet, and they were cold. Death was on the boy. And I said, Lord, I don't know what this means, but you've led me here to this lady's house. And he prayed, and as he prayed, the boy started saying, Mama, it's getting light in the room. And soon he was sitting on the side of the bed, and then the prophet catches a taxi. A few months later, he's coming through Phoenix on the train, and he gets off the train to buy some hamburgers. because it's much cheaper. And as he gets off the train, he hears someone saying, "Parson Branham, Parson Branham." And here's the young boy. Yeah. And he says, "Do you know me?" He says, "No, I don't recognize you." He says, "I was that young boy you the Lord led you to my mother's house and you prayed for me." And says, look at the double blessing. I wasn't only healed, but I'm serving the Lord. Yeah. You see, the double portion because of the faithfulness of a mother. He didn't only receive healing in his body, he received healing in his soul. And once you healed in your soul, you can never die. You can never pass away. So friends, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful in the house of the Lord. Some people don't want to come to church. They don't realize that they're robbing their children of the chance to be in the place where there's the possibility, the promise of the blessing. Now, some people book holidays and do different things at times when we shouldn't do those things. If it's something coming up in January, let's set that apart. Let's try to get our children there as much as we possibly can. Let's not miss these things. Friends, I'd say it's something we need to pray about. We need His blessing upon these things. We can't do it ourselves. Now, we can just do what we can do, but without His blessing, nothing's going to move. But He's given us such a promise. And friends, we can tap down into a source that quickens us in our prayer. And that quickening power is the very evidence that He wants to bless. And as we pray for Sunday service, Brother Tommy coming, as we pray for the Sunday school and Sunday, the adult Sunday school, the children's Sunday school, pray for the Sunday school teachers. As you pray for the youth, pray for the youth leaders. As you pray for the musicians. As you pray for the meetings next week in Avoca, when you go out to Wicklow, for the Lord to, allow us to take our roots deeper into the wisdom and the mind of God. I'd say if we leave this place having prayed sincerely those things we've done well, and then we leave it into the hands of the One who is the source of blessing, and we trust Him that His blessing will come forth. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of prayer, saints. Let's pray for these things. Let's put them before the Lord. Being a needy people, but a people with an expectation, because the Lord has been good to us. The Bible says He will bless us. Whatever your desire before the Lord, you know your personal needs in your own home, your own life, your own job, your college, your school, your health, your finances, whatever it is. Why not? Let's draw near to the source today. Let's not be satisfied just with a surface prayer. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be loud like all I say, but the earnest, sincere prayer, yeah, of a righteous man availeth much. So let's come before the Lord. Let's put these things before the Lord. Father, so grateful upon this day for grace and for mercy, Lord. So grateful, Lord, to be called as your people and to this place that we can come to this well, Father, to draw once again of your everlasting resources, Lord. Father, that never fails. Oh, we come unto thee upon this evening, Lord, because our needs, Father, are ever present before us, Lord. And Father, how we desire, Lord, just to come unto those resources, Lord, upon this day to draw forth by your grace according to your promise and by faith, Father, to bring, Lord, our prayer in the channel of these needs, Lord, just to wait upon thee, Lord, with the desire that you'd be glorified, Lord. Father, are we coming, Lord, upon this day on behalf, Lord, of our young people, Lord? We want that you'd be glorified, Lord, in our young people, the same way that you've been glorified, Lord, in so many parents that, Lord, you've redeemed, Lord. We're asking that of thee, Lord, the same pillar of fire, the same, Lord, angel that has redeemed us, Lord. Father, let the same angel redeem them as well, we pray. Oh, help us in the things that we see. Help us in the things that we do. Father, grant us wisdom, Lord. Help us, Lord, Father, just to draw nigh unto thee. Oh, grant us grace, Father, and for your glory, Lord, that, Father, we'll come unto the well, that, Father, Lord, we'll draw resources from the world, that we'll seek thee in this time, Father, to glorify the Lord. Brother Wilmore at the church. I think it's 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on Tuesday. So she's coming to look at our current church. So obviously things are moving there. So we really pray the Lord's favor that she may see the need that we have see the desire, see what's already being done in this place, that the Lord would really, really lay upon her to go back and give a good report so that they can see the need we have to move from this place into a more suitable location. So we thank the Lord things are moving in His time, and we just ask the Lord blessing upon this. And let's pray for Brother Tommy coming on Sunday. Let's invite people that are sick. If you've got your neighbors that are sick, if you've got other people that you know are sick, people that are lost, he's an evangelist, he'll be praying for the sick. Let's take advantage of the season while it's there. Let's remember the engagement in Paris. Sister Sharon, may the Lord bless the proceedings there tomorrow, and those that are traveling. Brother Eddie is traveling tomorrow, and Sister Angel's already gone. Let's keep them all in prayer. So we ask Brother Max to come and put these things before the Lord.
Take me back, oh, take me back, dwell, oh, to the place where I first received you. Oh, take me back, oh, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I, oh, first dealing. Oh, take me back, oh, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, oh, to the place, oh, where I first receive you. Oh, take me back, oh, take me back, dear Lord, where I, oh, first believed.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. Father, we came with all expectation to come and see you and to come and hear from you. And Lord, when we came, we have heard from you. You have spoken, Lord. And Father, the message we have heard tonight. Lord, we look at ourselves. We see a real weight upon us, Lord. So, Father, tonight we are not looking at what our strength can do, but we are looking at what you have already done for us, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus, let this grace be upon us, Lord. What already you have done for us, Lord, that's what we see, the Lord. You create that channel for us, so God. We see you that the same God of Abraham, same God of Isaac, the same God of Jacob, the same God of Joseph, Lord. Father, looking at our home first, Lord. Father, I want to commit we, the parents, Lord, into your hands. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Father, help us, oh God, to be able to create the right atmosphere in our homes, Lord. An atmosphere of love. Atmosphere of understanding. Atmosphere of peace. Atmosphere, Lord, of the true gospel, Lord Jesus. That, Father, our children will be engulfed in it, Lord. That our children will be enriched in it, Lord. That they will grow, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, please help us parents, Lord. We love our children, oh God. And Father, I want to pray for the children. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, even if it's a spirit of stubbornness tonight, Lord Jesus, we are asking, oh God. You are the one that can take even a stony heart. Yes. And replace it with the heart of flesh, Lord. Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus, make a change in the life of our children, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, please, please, Lord. Help our children, Lord Jesus. And Father, come into the church. Yes.
want to commit the ministry into your hands. We thank you, the Lord, you have given us a provision like this, a place where we can come and hear your word of God. We always come, we see you, Lord. Father, we commit the ministry into your hands. Even as, Lord, we can really say, we can see the fivefold ministry, oh Lord, in working in this church. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. The work is supposed to do for the perfection of the saints. Oh Lord, let it be, O God. For the work of the ministry, Lord, let it be so, Lord. And for the edification of the body of Christ, Lord, oh God, let it be, O Lord. The Lord, your children will be totally finished unto all good works, that will not be tossed about by any winds of doctrine, O Lord. Oh, even Lord Jesus, as it has been preached, O God, we pray the Lord Jesus, the blessings, that you protect us, O God. Oh, from standing the ways of sinners, or walking the counsel of ungodly, or sit in the seat of scoffers, that the Lord, we will be like that tree we've heard tonight, planted by the waters, with our roots deep down, of God bringing fruits, no matter the season, of God. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's our prayer. Help us, Lord Jesus, that we'll bear the fruits, because the scripture says, by our fruits we glorify you. So glorify your name, Lord. And Father, we commit the church into your hands. Even as the pastor have just said, oh Lord, we know the church is the people's heart. But Lord, now, here we want another place. And there is coming this officer, Lord. Father, before she comes, Lord, let her heart already, oh God, let her eyes see, oh, something that, oh God, will bring her a perfect report, the Lord Jesus, what we are seeking, oh God, it will come to pass to thy glory, Lord. Father, come Sunday, our precious brother, come in here. Oh, we want to commit it into your hands. Lord, we know the gift that is in him. As he comes, oh God, we want to commit to every sickness, any kind of disease, Lord, in our midst here, in the name of Jesus Christ. Even many as we shall put upon our hearts, we know somewhere, oh God, that are sick, Lord. Father, let your healing through the power of the preaching of your word of God, oh, be made manifest, Lord, that healing will strike every corner in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, once again, we want to thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Oh, the message we have heard, Lord. Always we say, we come here, we don't hear from one, we hear from you. The Lord, you are continuously using him, oh God, losing his mouth, oh Lord, as your mouth, your own mouthpiece, Lord. Father, continue to use him, Lord, oh, for the sake of the bride, Lord. We thank you, we bless you as you brought us in. Lord, we are going back. And we seek once again, Lord, your generosities. And as we remember our precious sister Sharon back in France, Lord, the occasion, we commit all into your hands. The Lord, it will be successful. And Father, your name will be blessed, oh God. Father, we are expecting more of those, Lord, in this house. So, Lord Jesus, we know these are the things that you have already planned for us. And we know that, Lord, it will follow in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, once again, take us back home and bring us back as we come, even tomorrow, for the evangelism. Oh, Lord, bless us and lead us, oh God, to places where all your children already are, that we can speak to them, Lord. And Father, come Sunday, as our brother comes, Lord, bless your church. Yes. Oh, we ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. 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 God richly bless you.
God bless you richly, bro. God bless you, bro. Amen. George, can lead us in one as we dismiss, please. God bless you, saints. May the Lord bless you as we dismiss.
Oh,